Okay, we have Chav Beis Amid Aleph, a few lines before the Mishnah. Six lines into the wide lines, and Chav Beis Amid Aleph. You got Chav Gimel. No. You Chav Beis? Okay.
Yeah.
No. Up. Six lines at the beginning. Yeah, six lines into the wide lines. Okay. The parallel, there are different opinions. How was the Torah given? Was the Torah given Ksav Ivri, and then Ezra makes Avashudis, the Meshach Rabbeinu makes Avashudis, but only private people had it, not everybody. So, the Gemara says that, why is it called Avashudis? Either because he brought it up from Ashur, or because it was a beautiful Ksav, okay? And then he says, Reb Shimon Elazar said, the writing never changed. It was always the same one, but Meshach Rabbeinu, they didn't want to use the holy language for everybody. So for the masses, they did Ksav Ashudis. Okay, so then the Gemara says, what does it say? Mishnah Torah Zeis, that he always had to go out with the Sefer Torah. Why? Because it says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. That was the end of the Gemara we learned. So the Gemara says, the Idach, the opinion of Rabbi Yisin Rabbi, Hai Shivisi, my daughter's faith. What do they learn from the Pasuk Shivisi? The first opinion of Shimon holds that you learn out that the king has to always have the Sefer Torah with him. But what do they learn from the Pasuk Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit? So he says, Ahumi Boylech Rab Chana Bar Bizna. It goes according to the understanding of Chana Bar Bizna, Damar Rab Chana Bar Bizna, Damar Rab Shimon Chasidam. Hamispalol, when you dav and sarch, sheyira atzmei ras to appear to himself, kilo shchina kenegdei, that the shchina is always opposite him. In fact, in a lot of shuls, by the Omid, they have a big sign, Shavis Hashem Lenegdi Samid. In Chabad, we don't have it. I know, because somebody put it up, I didn't want to fight with him. But in Chabad, we don't have it, because it's not supposed to be on the wall, it's supposed to be in your head. Shenema, Shavis Hashem Lenegdi Samid. Huh? What do you need on the wall for?
It's better on the wall.
Okay, it's not better. Anyway, Rab Shimon, Domeksav Zalei Nishtano. So now the Gemara says like this. According to Rab Shimon, that the script was never changed, meaning was never forgotten, it was never changed. So the Gemara says, Ma'alei Chahalim Ksav Ale Mikra. So why couldn't they read the writing on the wall with Nebuchadnezzar, and only Daniel was able to read the writing? So why weren't they able to read it if they had that language? Because the codes was written with gematria. Now here gematria doesn't mean numerical values like it normally does. It means in codes. What does it mean in codes? And the wall was written yatas idach pugachamant, whatever. Okay? So they couldn't figure it out. Daniel figured out the code. What was the code? My part of Shlomo. How did Daniel explain it? He said that yates is mina minei, which means mana and tekal uparsin. Meaning like this. The letter was written, if you see on there's a picture at the bottom over here. They're written in codes, okay? Either with adbash, you know, aleph changes for a tav, base for a shin, or whatever it is. And my parushko, how did Daniel explain to the king what the meaning of that was? He said like this. Mana means mina elokoch malchusa. God has counted your kingship to terminate it from you. I mean, you're not going to be king anymore. Tekal means tekal te bemiznaya v'hishtak te chasid. You've been weighed in the scales and been found wanting. Parsid means prisa malchusach, your kingship has been broken and given to mother and potas. So in other words, the Gemara's question was, the Gemara thought, that why couldn't they read the Ksav? Because they didn't know Ksav Ashuris, or Ksav Ivri. Right?
Who didn't know?
The people, yeah. Like we learned last week. So Daniel explained, so it was written in codes. So the Gemara answered, no, it was written in codes. They knew the language the whole time. Because it was giving Ksav Ashuris from the beginning, and everybody knew Ksav Ashuris. Why couldn't they figure out the code if they could read? Because it was written in a code, and therefore they couldn't figure out the code. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, no, it wasn't written like that code. It was written a different code. Mamtus Nakvi Aralan. meaning it was all the letters were there in the wrong sequence. And like he says, they're written 3 5-letter words on top of another, like you see in the picture for those that have it. And Daniel was, again, it doesn't matter what it is, but it was a code that only Daniel was able to figure out. Rabbi Yechon says it was written, Anam Anam Lakas Nisrafi, and Avashi says it was written, Nama Nama Katal Pursin. Okay, basically, whatever. It was, the bottom line, it was codes that Daniel figured out. Okay, so probably before we start the next Mishnah, it's a very interesting Gemara about how was the first Sefer Torah written? Was it written Ksav Ivri, like Rabbi Yossi's opinion and Marzuta's opinion, and then according to that, it was changed to Ksav Ashuris, and then the question is why would they change it, right? And then the second opinion was no, that it was there but they forgot it and Ezra reinstituted it. And the third opinion is they always had it, but for the masses they had the other Sefer Torah. No, the Luchas were definitely only in Lashon, in Ksav Ashuris. Because we learned the Mem and the Samach, that had to be only Ksav Ashuris. Or the Gemara that says the crowns that Hashem was writing on the letters had to be only Ksav Ashuris. Okay, sure, back to the Mishnah.
The right.
It's very disconcerting that which is the one we have written in Ashuris.
Ksav Ashuris, what we have today. Okay. Einreich Min Al Susay. This is going back to the dinim about respect for a king. You're not allowed to, nobody but a king is allowed to ride on a king's horse. Okay? A commoner is not allowed to ride on a king's horse. You're not allowed to sit on his throne. You cannot use his scepter. You're not allowed to see a king when he's taking a haircut. Not when he's naked. Not when he's in a bathhouse. All these things, by seeing the king in these predicaments and situations, is disrespectful for the king.
How does it relate to what we were just studying, Rabbi?
It's a new mission about the kings. That's what the question, how the Gemara got into that.
I thought you were going to elaborate on what you were studying.
Shenema, because it says, same tosim alecha melech, the Torah says you have to put upon yourself a king. What does it mean, same tosim alecha melech? Shetehei emasi alecha the king, the fear of the king has to be upon you.
What was the punishment, Rabbi?
For what?
For those things that they said that you have to respect the king.
You rode on your horse.
I don't think there was a rabbinic thing. So it was punishable by Malchus, rabbinic Malchus.
I'm sorry, Rabbi. What? Can you tell us the summation, recapitulation of what happened with the Torah?
We did 10 times already.
Can you say one more time?
I just said it now.
No, so how was it written anyway? Because you...
The halacha is it was written the way we have it today.
Same? So Ashuri?
Yeah.
Wasn't
okay, what?
When people were in a mikvah, and the Rebbe would come into the mikvah, what?
They ran out.
They ran out?
Yeah, but the Rebbe rarely came into the mikvah unannounced.
Unannounced?
No, rarely did that happen, but if they did, they ran out.
Yeah. Are you still supposed to get out of the mikvah when your father or your rabbi is in there?
In Shulchan Aruch it says you don't go into the water together with your father or your rebbe, but it says if they were there first, you can go in. And the chassidim, their b'chal meikel and all that, because it says fathers, father-in-law, brothers-in-law. There's a lot of things in Shulchan Aruch. But l'peril, in the Hasidic world, they don't go crazy with that.
Oh, if it says Arum, why do we need marchas?
No, even if it's not completely undressed.
In marchas?
Yeah.
Even it's
not... Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. By the way, The halacha is, it's not only when the king's alive, even after the king dies, you're not allowed to use his horse, and therefore they would actually kill the horse. The Gemara is going to explain later. They would actually kill the horse. You're not allowed to use his scepter. All these things apply even when he's not to sit on the king's throne. All apply even after the king died.
Raise the wife.
They would kill the king's horse.
And also the widow.
We'll see about the widow, and we'll see about another king.
Kill the wife?
They kill his wife too.
Yeah.
We have done it during it.
No, the Gemara is going to see. The Gemara, interesting. One second. The Gemara is going to speak now. The Gemara is going to go into now an interesting discussion. Can another king marry the widow of a king? In other words, a commoner is not allowed to marry the widow of the king. Because again, it's disrespectful to the king that his wife is now living with another guy. But there's a machlokes in the Gemara. We're going to soon see whether the another king is allowed to marry the widow of a previous king. So Amr Rav Yaakov, Amr Rav Yechanan. Rav Yaakov said the name of Rav Yechanan, okay? Avishag muteris l'shleimer v'asur l'adiniya. Now, when the king got old, David HaMelech got old, it says he was cold and they got this girl Avishag. Okay? She's a very beautiful woman, but it says in the Pasuk, David HaMelech didn't marry her. Okay, that's what it says in the Pasuk. Now, but Avishag, according to Rav Yechanan, explains that she's allowed to marry Shlomo after David HaMelech died. She would be allowed to marry Shlomo HaMelech, but not Adoniya. Adoniya is another son of David HaMelech that wanted to take the kingdom, and therefore the whole story with Dosan and Avi and Bathsheba, that it's a half tayor, one of the weeks. Okay? I think it was by Yechi.
Adoniya was killed.
Eventually, yeah. Okay, so he explains. Muteresh l'shleima, why was Avishag allowed for Shleima? The Melechoya. Because he was a king. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yechon, a king could marry the wife, or we'll see by Rabbi Avishag if she was a wife or not, that he's allowed to marry her. Why the Melechoya? U'melech mishtamesh b'shavitei shal melech, and a king is allowed to, by the way, and I should have mentioned this before. They bring down that not only the king Sharvit, the scepter, but even the servants and the maidservants of a previous king are not allowed to be used by anybody else.
You kill them all.
By the way, the same thing you have in the Megillah Esther, when the beauty contest was going on, yeah? When he went back to the other king's place, whatever. So, any girl that lived with Achashverosh was never allowed to marry anybody else. Because she was once with Achashverosh, the Persian rule didn't allow them to marry. And so once a girl was with Achashverosh, she was stuck for life. That was it. So it says like a scepter. Okay. U'melech mishtamesh b'shavitu shomelech. A king can use another scepter of another king. Including, this means his wife also. V'asur l'adiniya, but she's forbidden to marry Adiniya. The head Yudaya, because he was a commoner. Okay?
He was the son of David
Amelch.
Right?
He was son of David Amelch, but he didn't become a king. And therefore, Avisha was also for Vadoniya, but she was mutter for Shlem Amelch. So Gemara says, Avisha Gmahi. Okay, what's the story over here with Lucheram? Like we said, he never married her. Okay, the Gemara is going to discuss this. Avishag Mahi, what was Avishag's relationship to David? Dechsev, it says in the Pasuk, Vamelech David Zokim Baba Yomim, the Yemel Avadim, and his servant said to him, Vayivakshel, you know, find out this, excuse me, find this young girl. It says, Vayivakshel Nari Yofa, Vanari Yofa Admei, Vatil Amelech Zekenes Vatishoseu. She provided warmth for the king, okay? So Lucheira, she never married him. Right, that's what the implication is. Amra, Avishag said to David, in other words, after Avishag was serving David HaMelech, Avishag said to him, Nisban, let's get married. Why am I doing this? Let's get married. Amra, David HaMelech said, Asir Allah, I can't marry you. Why? Because he already had 18 wives. We learned before in the Mishnah, a king can only have 18 wives. So Avishag said, let's get married. So David HaMelech said, I can, because I have the quota already.
They couldn't warm him up?
1 minute. Amr Alei, so she said to him, Chasroi leganva, nafshe l'shlom enokit. When a thief lacked victims from who to steal, okay, so you become an upright man. Meaning, what does it mean? So she says to David HaMelech, you're basically lying. The real reason you don't want to marry me is because you're too old to have relations. Amr Lahu, so David HaMelech wanted to prove that he could. Kirli Basheva, call me Basheva, Yeshiva Linger. Call to me Basheva. Batave Basheva HaMelech HaChadra, she went into the room. What does it mean? Amr Avyud HaMerah, Ba'is HaShokincha Basheva B'Shloish HaSvim Apis. They had 13 time relations. She and David HaMelech.
Within an hour.
Within whatever. So she, David HaMelech proved this point that he's able to have relations. So therefore he explained to Avishag, why can't I marry you? Because I'm married or I have 18 wives. I can't marry anymore. Amar Rav Shemin bar Abba. So now the Gemara is going to discuss a very interesting thing. The Gemara asks the question, so David HaMelech could have divorced one of his wives.
Of course.
Why couldn't the other wives warm him up?
Whatever, I'll start Kasha. So the question is, why couldn't David HaMelech, if Avisha was this beautiful woman, and the only reason David HaMelech said I can't marry you is because I'm married 18 wives, divorce one of the wives and marry her if he wanted. So Amar Rav Shemin bar Abba, why didn't David Shemin bar Abba? Look how difficult the concept is to divorce a wife. The Chacham permitted David HaMelech to have yichud with Avishag, even though she wasn't his wife, and they didn't permit him to divorce a wife. In other words, divorce is so strict, we're going to see in the Gemara exactly about it. Divorce is so severe that the Chachamim permitted David HaMelech, the best then obviously, because whatever David HaMelech did was according to Halacha, that they permitted him to have Yichud with Avishag, not to divorce another wife, to marry Avishag. It's questionable what then she had.
Back then, even there was a little, the soup was not good, they got a divorce.
Yeah.
And what's so difficult?
Oh, I mean, Amir Abul Azad.
Who counted that he had 13 times? I mean, he sat there and said,
the cloth, is this the
cloth? Let me explain to you something. All this Gemara, there are Mefarshim like the Mashon and others, that explain this Gemara on a much deeper spiritual level. Trust me, the Gemara is not a rated X novel.
I don't know.
But obviously, again, David HaMelech no Yetzahara. You know what I mean? No Yetzahara, that means he wasn't all this stuff. Okay? David HaMelech was Malchus, and what Avishag, whatever level of sphere she was, and whatever. The bottom line is, we need to understand again, like we said last time, that the Gemara cannot be taken literally. The stories of Torah, as Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, and Bat Ein Yaakov, the stories of the Gemara, Reiv, Seydis, HaTeira, Gnuzimba. All the secrets of Torah are in the stories of the Gemara. You can't take it literally. What, you know, how do they know?
We like to take it literally.
I know. Amar Abul Azar, Eliezer said, Kala Megarish as Ishtar Rishayin, whoever divorces his first wife, Afilim Mizbeach made it all of the Mars. Even the Mizbeach sheds tears. Shenama Vizay Shein is Tasa Kasuz Dima, and this further you do. You cover the altar of Hashem with tears, as Mizbech Hashem Bechi, the altar with crying. Vanok in sighing. Me'ene Pineis ala Mincha, to the extent Hashem will not regard your offering anymore. V'lakach Asrotim Yechem, to take it willingly from your hand. Oksiva Marta Mama, for what? Aki Alkein Heir Bein Cho, Bein Yeshes Norecha. Because Hashem bears witness between you and the wife of your youth, meaning your first wife, Ashrato Begadu Taba, that you divorced her, V'chavercha, she's your companion, V'eshes B'risacha, and the one of your covenant. One minute. Okay, so in Shulchan Aruch it says, based on the Rishonim, that what it means that God cries over the divorce. We mentioned that when the Rebbe's father, today, if the Rabbanim that do Gittin would fast the day of a get, they would be fasting every day of the year 10 times. It would be worse than Ramadan. The Rebbe's father used to fast the day he wrote a get. Fezerov, he wrote a get for people. He would fast that day. And he said, do you think it's such an easy thing to break up the name of Yudke Vavke? Because Yud is husband, Hey is wife, Vav and Hey is son and daughter. So when you break up a marriage, it's breaking up Yudke Vavke. Now this, the Gemara says, so therefore Mizbech made it of the Mois means Hashem is upset, Hashem cries over it. But in Shulchan Aruch it says that this din, in Ebenezer it says, this din is only if they do it against their will. If the divorce is, like in the olden time, they tell you, you can't do it. Maybe the Sfardim could do it because they don't have Rabbeinu Gershom's takana. Rabbeinu Gershom, beside the two wives, you know, he made a bunch of institutions, yeah? Chemer Rabbeinu Gershom, you can't read somebody else's mail. I mean, there's a lot of issues Rabbeinu Gershom made takonis. And one of the things he said, you can't divorce the wife against her will. In the time of the Gemara, or after Rabbeinu Gershom, you're able to take a get, throw it at your wife, and she was divorced. You didn't even have to know about it. But Rabbeinu Gershom instituted, you can't divorce a woman against her will. And it's so not allowed, so not allowed to do that, that there's a tshuva neder b'Yehuda, neder b'Yehuda writes, that if you make a shliach to divorce a woman against her will, like you make a shliach to throw to get at her, yeah, normally you can give a get with a shliach. He says, ein shliach l'dvar aveda. It's called a dvar aveda to divorce a woman against her will, and you can't make a shliach, and therefore the get won't be get.
But what about the 100 rabbis that come to
the... No, that's only to permit the husband to marry a second woman. Oh. Rabbeinu Gershom, by the way, he had experience with two wives. You read the Rabbi Meir Agola in the five novelettes. You read the story of Rabbi Meir Agola, Rabbeinu Gershom made that takana because he married his, he didn't have kids, and he married a second wife, and she really messed him up bad. She almost got him killed, and got some ice. Second wife. So, read the story. It's a beautiful story. It's a kid story, but it's a beautiful story. Meir Agola. You know the five novelettes? Marcus gave out a long time ago a book, Five Novelettes. It's out of print, but he reprinted it. It's a story called Meir Agola. So, Rabbeinu Gershom instituted that you can't marry two wives. That's why Sfardim had two wives, because Rabbeinu Gershom was in Germany or France. He was Ashkenazi.
Yeah.
And they either never knew about it or never accepted it.
But now,
Fisher Rabbeinu Gershom's thing was for 1,000 years. The Tekona was for 1,000 years. Oh. Even though 1,000 years is up, but the rabbis continued it in perpetuality, whatever, forever. Okay, whatever. Before, you know, a lot of times here in this Gemara is Rabbeinu Hananel, and a lot of Gemaras, it's Rabbeinu Gershom.
It was the time of the Goyim?
Yeah, at the end of the Goyim, and before Rashi and Rambam, before those people.
He lived in France?
Either France or Germany. It was Ashkenazi.
The year 948, I think he made it, because in 1948 it was up.
Oh, is that right?
What's the name of the novel again?
Meir Agola. It was called Rabbeinu Gershom Meir Agola. Tosfos brings him down many places, and Tosfos says Rabbeinu Gershom Meir Agola because he illuminated the Golos with his institution. Anyway, so Rabbeinu Gershom said you can't marry two wives. Okay? A wife can't marry two husbands. That's biblically because she's an Eish Yesish. Okay? But biblically, a man can have many wives. A king can have 18. Other people can have 300. You know, if they're, as long as they're able to support him. So Rabbeinu Gershom instituted that you can't marry a second wife. Now there are certain exceptions to the case. So what's the way of getting a permission to marry a second wife? Okay? So the way it's done is it's called Heter Meir Rabbanim. It's a leniency with 100 Rabbanim. It's a very difficult thing to do. You need 3 Rabbanim from 3 different countries. Okay, 3 different countries signing off on this heter, and then you need to get 100 signatures, heter meir rabbanim, of 100 rabbanim. In other words, if the 3 people feel, based on a lot of things, that you could do it, so then what they do is like this. They allow the man to remarry. But how do they allow the man to remarry? Because again, biblically it's not a problem, it's only Rabbeinu Gershom. What do they do? The man writes because they feel it's beneficial for the woman to be divorced and therefore the man could remarry. So what they do is the husband writes a get to his wife. And somebody else is zeicha the get for the wife. Because zochem la'odam shlei b'fanav. You could do something good for somebody without them even knowing about it. So therefore the husband writes a get. Somebody else acquires the get for the woman. So technically she's divorced anyway. The get is left in Beis Din until the woman picks it up or whatever. And then they allow the husband to remarry. Now when do you have cases where there was a case, whatever, in the city not long ago, that a woman was in a coma for a long time, vegetative state, and they allowed the husband to remarry with Heter Meir Rabbanim. Sometimes the case can get dirty, the woman refuses to accept the get for whatever reason it is, and then sometimes they'll do it, or they could do it in another case, for instance, you have the opposite usually. What happens if somebody's wife is missing in action? So A lot of times you have an aguna. What's an aguna? The man left, you don't know where she is, where he is, right? So she's stuck. What happens if you have a case where the woman left? Gendik, you don't know where she is. She ran away. And you don't know where she is. And it's years already. Right? So Zula had to marry Rabbanim.
And she shows up.
No, no. No, because Rabbi thinks she gets divorced.
So because she could marry anybody after that.
Yeah, but she needs to get the ghetto. It's not so simple. She needs to get the ghetto. Anyway, so that's the case of Hetamei Rabbanim. But Rabbi Nageshim's takana was only about a man marrying more than one wife. Not a woman. A woman can't marry more than one husband. Because that's, she's an ish yesish.
What's a halakha on it? Woman cannot have a relation. She has a mind is okay, but she's sick.
So again, I have to go to Beis Din. They have to see what the story is.
Yeah, legitimate.
If the mind's good, then they should get divorced. She can accept the get.
They don't want to have divorce.
Okay, so then starts as simple.
We'll start the whole saga.
Okay. So then the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yechon said, other people say Rabbi Elazar said it. Ein ish l'shalah d'meisa, a person's wife only dies because elon kim mevakshim mimenu mamon. That's like a husband stole money from other people and refuses to pay back. Okay, he doesn't want to repay it back. And that's why the wife will die as a punishment for that. Because shenemad v'im ein l'chol l'shalim. If you have nothing to pay, lama yikach mishkavcha mitachtecha. Why should I cause Hashem to take your bed, meaning your wife, from under you? Well, I mean, Rabbi, see, this all, why is Gemara going there? Because they're all expressions of Rabbi Yechon. So Gemara just continues.
Why does the wife suffer? Why should she suffer?
Oh, that's a good shayla. How's that shayla?
He's the culprit.
Rabbi Yechon in Kaladim Shemesa Ishta Rishayna. Any person that his first wife dies, ki'ilu chare beis hamikdash b'yama, is considered as if the beis hamikdash was destroyed in his days. Okay, shenama, because it says, ben Adam, hini lekech mimcha, Hashem said to Yechezkel, son of man, taken from you the desire of your eyes, b'magefa, in a plague. Because, what's his name's wife died, Yechezkel's wife died in a plague. Le'sisper v'lisivka, and you should not lament, you should not cry, le'savet demasecha, and you know your tears run down. And it says, Yechezkel said, v'adaber alam ba'beker, and immediately says, I have spoken to the people in the morning, my wife died in the evening, uksiv, and the pasuk continues, he says, ini mechalas migdoshi, I'm profaning my sanctuary, my beis hamikdash, going uzcha machmer einechem, the pride of your strength, the desire of your eyes. So the Yechezkel Hanavi in the same pasuk was comparing the Beis Hamikdash, I mean his wife's death, to the Beis Hamikdash's death.
Has he done anything to deserve this,
Yechezkel? Well, initially he didn't want to get married, he didn't, whatever.
He was a
Kohen?
No, Yechezkel was not Kohen. Yirmiyahu was.
He said, okay, whatever. Amir Rabbi Alexander says, Kol Adam Shemesa Ishtei B'yamav, whoever wife dies in his days, meaning during his lifetime, Eilam Choshech Badei, his world is darkened in his day. Shenema, because it says, Er Choshech Ba'olei, the light in his tent shall be darkened, V'neira Olav Yidach, and the candle will be extinguished. Rabbeisi b'chanina amad, psiyesim is kastas, his steps will become shortened. That means he becomes physically weakened. Shenema yitzra tzadi einei, the steps of his tank will be shortened. Rababu oimer, atzasi nefelis, his advice falls before him, meaning his brain doesn't work so much anymore. Shenema vatashlecheo atzasi, his advice will cast him down. Okay? So basically, the Gemara says about the first wife died. This is all the Gemara got into because we're talking about Shlomo Melech with this marrying the wives, and so and Visha Gaston wanted to divorce one of your wives and marry me. So went on. Then the Gemara says like this: Amr Rabbi Chana, Amr Rabbi Yechon is a very famous Gemara. Kosher lezavnu kirkias yamsuf. it's difficult for Hashem to make a shidduch like it was to split the sea. Shenema, where do we see that there's a connection between making shidduchim and splitting the sea? So it says, Elokim meishiv yichidim baisa, the same Gemara as in Seita, by the way. Elokim meishiv yichidim baisa, Hashem gathers individuals to a house. Meitzi asirim bekashareis, and he releases prisoners at a suitable times. Simply, it means like this. When did Hashem take the Jews out of Egypt? Pesach time, beautiful weather.
Spring.
So it says, Hashem, but the pasuk starts off by saying, Elokim meishiv yichidim baisa, Hashem gathers individual to a house. Right? And he takes him out in good weather. So don't read it, Meitzi Asirim, Ela Kemeitzi Asirim. As, like releasing prisoners, meaning, Ela Kim Meshiv Yechidim Beisa, which refers to making Shaduchim, is as difficult for Hashem as taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim and doing Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Gemara says, Al Tikri, the Gemara continues, Ela, don't read it, Bakri Shoreis, also, in a good time. Read it, Bechi Vishiris. Bakushadis could be read, Bechi, crying, Vishiris, and singing. In other words, when the Jews, the sea split, the Egyptians were crying and the Jews were happy. Okay, so the Gemara says like this, it's very difficult for Hashem to make Shaduchim. And they connected to Kriyas Yamsuf, because Kriyas Yamsuf is making Yam into Yabosha, changing the nature of Yam into Yabosha. This is the simple meaning of the Gemara. So therefore the same thing, taking man and woman from two different planets and putting them together is a very, very difficult thing. What?
What makes it difficult for Hashem? Hashem could do everything. What is it difficult for? What is this notion difficult?
Difficult means that it's something that Hashem is changing the nature of what He established. I mean, it's not difficult. By Hashem, nothing's difficult. But it means, just like Hashem speaks in physical language that we understand. Hashem speaks in our language. Just like for us, the most difficult thing to do is change your nature. Kaviyachol, Hashem is changing Yam to Yabasha, because you have to understand. When Hashem created nature, nature is also a revelation of godliness, but it's a constant miracle that's called nature. Yeah? So, when Hashem made the nature of water to flow, that's what Hashem wanted, that water should flow. And dry land doesn't flow. That's the way Hashem created it to be. That's the way Hashem wants it. Now, all of a sudden, to save the Jews, Hashem is taking the nature of water which is to flow, and making it stop flowing. So he's changing the whole nature of creation. That's why the Gemara says, Le'ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nisa L'Magana. The Gemara says, Hashem doesn't do miracles for no reason. Why not? What does he care? Miracle. Nature is anyway a constant miracle. So this miracle, that miracle, what's the difference? Because when Hashem set up the world in a certain system, right, Hashem wants to keep it that system. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. V'haray, and the proof of it is, that's the way Hashem made it. Now Hashem's taking the Yam and making the Yam Suf. So to speak, difficult. Here, what does it mean Hashem is difficult making Shaduchim? Man and woman is Zoh and Malchus, Chochmah and Bina, Giver, Mashpia, Makabel. There is a world of differences between men and women. In case you didn't know, there's a big difference between men and women. One minute, the Gemara's going to ask that in a second. So, this is the same Gemara in Saita, the first page of Saita. This is the Gemara. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, for Hashem to make Shaduchim, meaning to change the nature of the unity between men and women, to unite two opposites, Mashpi and Makabel, Zohar and Malchus, Chochmah and Bina, it's, so you have to bring down a power above both of them. So the Gemara says, Eini, how could you say that?
So if that's the case, it's something not good, so they shouldn't get married. The teva is they shouldn't get married. Now he's making.
But he made them. But no. But
why is the purpose of creation to take gashmis and make it ruchnis? Don't make gashmis. Don't make ruchnis.
He made it. They are separate. There is water.
Yeah, but then Hashem says, "I want the two opposites to join, because when two opposites join, you bring down a higher level, which is above both."
But physically, they are so attracted to each other.
Why?
He made them like that.
Why?
So that
why
be,
did Hashem make such an attraction?
So they'll be a poor vu.
Right, because if not, who's going to want to get married?
Right.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Aini, how could you say that matchmaking is a difficult task? He says, okay? 40 days before the formation of the embryo, and Tesis, not here, but Tesis says in Saita, it refers to the 40 days before the male. Basco Yates very Medes, a voice already comes out and says, Bas Pleni Le Pleni, the daughter of this guy is going to marry this guy. So in other words, so obviously it can be difficult because it's made already at the time of conception. It's not based on behavior.
Well, to bring him later.
See, to take people, but they're not opposite then. They're not even born yet. What's the big deal? So the Gemara says, Likash, Habizivik Rishin, Habizivik Sheni. If it's the first marriage, then it's very difficult.
No.
No, I'm sorry. Marriages at the are made at conception is the first marriage. Bezivik Sheni, that's when Koshel is after Kakriyas Yamsov. Why? Meaning like this. The first time is based on Mazel. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. First time is based on Mazel. Second time is based on behavior. Take people with two different behaviors and put them together is very difficult. There's a story in the Medrash, could be even in the Gemara, that the Queen of Sheba, Eshlom HaMelech, what does God do a whole day? Now that He created the world, what does He do a whole day? So he answered, Hashem is busy making Shaduchim. Mizavik Zivugim. So Queen of Sheba says, come on, what's so hard about that? So Shlomo HaMelech says, okay, let's try it. So he took, I don't know, X amount of boys, X amount of girls, he lined them up, and the Queen of Sheba said, okay, you, her. She made, in 10 minutes, she made 30 Shaduchim. So she said to Shlomo HaMelech, you see, what's the big deal? Anybody could do it. So Shlomo HaMelech says, let's wait a day. The next day, they all came back. This one had a broken nose, black and blue, killing each other. So you see, it's not so simple just to pair up people. People do it today. You see a girl, see a boy, oh, perfect shit. Not they know the boy, not they know the girl. People that work like that today. See a boy, see a girl, oh, let's make a shidduch. God, you don't even know the boy, nor the girl. How are you going to make a shidduch? Well, do you know them? Anyway, that's the way it works. So my answer is like this.
Is it mitzvah to do that? I mean,
yeah.
If you do it normally, yeah, not, okay. Anyway, so the Gemara says like this. The first shidduch is based on mazel. Kedim Yitzidus Avlat. The second shidduch is based on mazel. Now look at Tesis over here. It's very interesting, Tesis to the left.
Second is on mazel.
Tesis said, Mikomo came, and boy, Mem came Yitzidus Avlat. Mikomo came, male tefillah, betech mem yeim lahofchi. You could daven that it should change, either for the male or for the female. Okay? Or because we see, Mem Yem, the Gemara says in Brachas, Mem Yem Kein Mitzias Avlad, 40 days before conception, you could daven for your wife to have a Zachar. Okay? So he says, Tesis says, even Ziva Grishin could change through davening. Okay? He says, Einesim Noshim B'Meid, you're not allowed to marry women in Cholameid, but you could do Eresim. You could do Kedushin. Why? Shemi Kadmenu Achab Erachmi. This Tesis, there's a very interesting letter from the Rebbe. We mentioned it in we're learning during the week. And back a look at the Sichas, there's a letter from the Rebbe, because a lot of Tesis alludes to this also. The Gemara asks the question, I mean, the seemingly there's a contradicted Gemara. One Gemara says, Mem Yeim Kerem Yitzir Savlad, it's already destined who's marrying whom. Right? It's already destined. Yeah. Yet, the Gemara says, you can even get engaged on Tisha B'Av, Kedushin, because maybe somebody else will get her. B'Tfilah. Berachmin, right? Yeah. So, question: if it's already destined, how can somebody else get her? So, Tesis over here says clearly, but afilu ziva grishim esapach betfila. So, Tesis over here is of the ants. Tesis holds that it brings down a bunch of from Nishenim Achreinim, five different answers to this seemingly contradiction. But Tesis holds that even though it's destined, tefila could change destiny.
How's the marriage going to be after that?
1 minute. But the Rebbe has basic answers. The Rebbe brings up from other poskim and rishonim and achreinim that sometimes it means somebody else could change it through davening, but something is going to happen to that shidduch. Either one of them will die or they'll get a get, and then they'll go back to the first one anyway.
So how could davening matchil something that's not good?
Well, the davening of Shebishter accepted it.
So how come the second one? So how could the second one become difficult if it was meant to be like that? Because it's going to be the second one.
No, it depends. Second for whom? When it says zivik sheni, there's another machlekes in poskim. When you say zivik sheni, is based on your behavior, not a mazel. Does that mean zivik sheni of both? Second marriage of both, or second marriage even for one of them? Because if one of them wasn't married, then that should be destiny. So it's a whole discussion in Poskim. Anyway.